WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest Clyde Snow pioneered the use of forensic anthropology to identify the victims of massacres and government-sponsored murder. As Snow says, bones are often our last and best witnesses. He trained the Argentine forensic anthropology team, which we just heard about, and he's worked with similar teams around the world, including in Chiapas, Mexico, Ethiopia, and the former Yugoslavia. He also helped identify the remains of Nazi doctor Joseph Mengele and the remains of the victims of serial killer John Wayne Gacy. Snow spent the 1960s and 70s as a researcher with the Federal Aviation Agency investigating airplane accidents. Is there one place where you feel like your work had the greatest impact in bringing murderers or death squads to justice?
Well, I think the outstanding case was our very first one down in Argentina. And some of the evidence that I and my team had collected was used in testimony before the trial of the military junta that the generals and admirals that had run Argentina during the period of repression and resulted in their convictions. Of course, you have to realize that their convictions didn't last very long. Eventually, some of the junta that were given life sentences, they were eventually amnestied.
How'd you feel about the amnesty?
I didn't like it at all. I think if you commit murder, you ought to go to jail.
What about the results of your work in the former Yugoslavia, exhuming mass graves there? What was the outcome?
Well, my work in former Yugoslavia was goes up to about 96. And at the grave in Vukovar, where we had the hospital patients who were killed, I did go back in, I guess it was 97, 98, and testified in the trial of one of the people who was indicted for that crime. And I gave testimony in the at the UN War Crimes Tribunal about our findings in Vukovar. And unfortunately, the accused committed suicide in his cell shortly before the sentence was to be pronounced. And the other three have still not been brought to justice, but they're under indictment.
What do you think are some of the greatest lessons that could be learned from your experiences presenting evidence?
I think the lesson that has come out of my experience in this in the past 15 years or so is that we do need something in terms of some sort of an international entity that can very swiftly, when crimes like we see in Guatemala, Croatia, or wherever, East Timor, are committed, that there will be prompt investigations and prompt proceedings stemming from those investigations, so that people who are accused of these will be brought to justice and given a fair but speedy trial. And I think when this sort of thing begins to happen, that, and it may be decades before it really comes into being, but it will have a chilling effect on the commission of these kinds of crimes, in that leaders in these countries can't just go out and murder their own people en masse and figure they're going to get away with it.
So have political people in power who are trying to cover up massacres and the murders of political dissidents, have they ever hurt anyone on your team in revenge for your team digging up the mass graves?
Fortunately not. They have had some things like death threats, but thank God none of them have ever materialized.
When someone from your team says that they've been threatened, what kind of advice do you give them?
The only advice we can, watch your back,
Watch your back, but keep working.
Well, yes, and they insist on keeping, you know, they've never backed off from any of these threats. And you know, not only do I salute their expertise, but you have to salute their courage. And it's also encouraging to all of us and to all of them that nowadays more and more people have recognized the advantages and the value of forensic evidence. They're being used in these situations all over the world. It's like I was talking to somebody on my Argentine team, one of the women that started with us in 1984, and I said, it's like, you know, we started out this little mom and pop operation, and now, you know, Walmart has come to town. But that is good. The more people we have out there doing these kinds of things, the better the world's going to be in a few years.
Does it ever get to you working with the dead?
The way I always figure it that is that, you know, being dead is no problem. It's getting there that's tough. And where I'm affected very often, and I think my colleagues are too, is that we have to see what these people went through before they died. And when you start piecing that together, it can affect you. But again, you have to maintain your professional objectivity while you're investigating, you know. And I used to tell my team in Argentina, those kids, when they got started back in the old days, in the 80s, I said, look, you know, you can cry, but cry at night. You know, when we're in here working with this, we're scientists, we're professionals, we have to just go with what the evidence tells us. And we have to look at it pretty coldly. But, you know, we can't expect anyone, including ourselves, to take this as, we can't be that cold, but we have to compartmentalize it.
Since you have spent so much of your career working with the remains of others, have you thought about what you want done with your body when you pass?
Oh, I'm already signed up for organ donation, although I'm at age 72, I'm not sure I've got any organs anybody else would want. But if there's anything usable, go ahead and use it.
And then what?
Then just bury me, or
not cremation, but burial.
Oh, you know, actually, what I'd like to be buried unembalmed in a nice wooden coffin somewhere, so I could become a skeleton pretty quick.
Seriously?
Yeah.
And why do you want to become a skeleton?
I don't know. You know, I've been around them all my life. I get along with them pretty good, so. Eventually, it's going to happen anyway. It's just a nice way to go back to the earth.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Clyde Snow pioneered the use of forensic anthropology for investigating government-sponsored murder and massacre.